Okay, good evening. Can I have the roll call, please?
Adam.
Here.
Ganaway.
Here.
Kapler.
Here.
Ormsby.
Here.
Rafferty. Stoltenberg.
Here.
Wendell.
Here. Okay, well, tonight we have a couple of new members that we want to introduce. Joe Adams, thank you for joining. Can you give us a quick little bio about yourself and how long you've been a Bettendorf resident and such?
Yes, Joe Adam. I've lived in Bettendorf, my wife, Michelle, three children for 30-some years. I'm an attorney at John Deere. I do a lot of transaction work, mergers and acquisitions. Grew up on a farm in southeast Iowa and came down here to go to St. Ambrose and studied business and then decided to go to law school at University of Iowa. And we've loved the community and been involved in a number of school activities. I was on the Pleasant Valley School Board, and I'm currently on the Mississippi Bend area AEA.
Great, great. Welcome. Thanks for having you. Ann?
I'm Ann Ganaway, and I've been a proud Bettendorf resident for 8 years. I grew up in Davenport and went away to college, but returned here. Though when I left, I vowed never to return as an 18-year-old. That was my mentality. But I currently work at St. Ambrose, as does my spouse, and we have three boys who are 11, 13, and 15.
All right, great, thanks. Welcome, glad to have you. The commission is full from a roster standpoint now then. All right, so we had minutes from the last meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of the minutes from the December 18th meeting as submitted.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from December 18th, missed the January meeting, 2019. All those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. Okay. So again, welcome to everybody this evening. We are the Plan and Zone Commission. We are appointed, as the two new members are, by the City Council and the Mayor to serve in a recommending role to the City Council and review matters of site plan zoning and land use and such. I see a number of you in the audience tonight, so if there's a particular case that you'd like to provide input on, we'd love to have it. There's a podium back to my right and to your left. If at the appropriate time I recognize the audience and you have some input for us, we'd love to hear from you. And if you could speak through the mic so we can pick it up in the recording, that would be great. So with that, we will go to our next item, approval of the 2019 Plan and Zone Commission annual report. Have the members of the commission had a chance to look at the report?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions, comments, or additions to the report?
Thank you to Lisa for another excellent document with a lot of information, and to staff for all the work that they put in to bring so many cases before us last year.
Yeah, I think the chart on the first page did a pretty good job of showing the activity level there. Site development plans were substantially over any other year. So to staff, thank you for the support and the work. So I would entertain a motion to accept the Plan and Zone 2019 annual report.
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the 2019 P&Z Commission annual report. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay, the report is approved. All right, that takes us to election of officers. We seem to do this every year, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So do we have any discussion or motions or recommendations from the commission?
Well, I would recommend that we stay with what we're doing. You're doing a good job, so might as well keep it up.
Not broken, don't fix.
That's right.
Okay. I'm all for that.
All right.
Absolutely.
Any other discussion or... This is going to be easy.
Roy, you do an excellent job.
Yeah, thank you.
You wouldn't ask for
Thank you. It's the teamwork. We have a great team. All right, well, can I nominate? I need a motion and a second. So was that a motion and a second?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to leave everything the same, which would be Roy Wendland, chairman, and Ann, you're vice chairman, aren't you? Do we have that? I think that's Lisa's nodding yes. That's okay. All right. So all in favor of keeping that the same, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Everything stays the same. Okay. With that, Greg, we will go to our first case.
Mr. Chairman, the first case is at 2528 Middle Road.
It involves a large piece of ground that has been essentially left as a remnant, if you will, to this parcel here, and that was this is all was under one ownership at one time. We've discussed this before. Tonight we have two issues, one regarding a plat and the other the site plan. The plat is being brought back as an amended final plat because of a change with two flag portions down here on the subdivision lot arrangement. This is the preliminary plat that you've seen before. Means of access coming through the bank parking lot, and that is a condition that that document permitting that easement be allowed. This is the final plat showing that easement along with some utility easements. In greater detail, the orange area here is the actual access easement, the area that is in the box, as it were, and tracking here is a utility easement. So they've been broken out on this diagram to show that there is a distinction between the two because they're somewhat blending together if you go back to the final plat. Staff in reviewing the final plat would also note that we want to make sure that there is clarity as to where the easement for access on lot 3 terminates, the one that is going through and then into lots 1 and 2, and we'll make sure that's cleaned up so that it is not any closer than the 20-foot setback line on lot 3 to the actual middle road right-of-way. Staff in reviewing the first proposal, the final plat for Ewing Bettendorf First Edition, would recommend approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Okay, thank you, Greg. John, any updates from staff since publication?
If I may, if I could ask you to kind of clarify the traffic report that we required since the time you originally visited the issue of the site development plan. I know that was an issue that was brought up with considerable length at that meeting. As a result of it, we required the developer to pay for a traffic report for the entire coordinate here, and if you would mind.
Do you want to do that now, or should we wait till we do the site development plan, which is the next
whenever you would
case?
Like it.
Either way, why don't we do it now, and then we've got the whole perspective as we hear the other component.
Sure. So the majority of the discussion, if you remember the first time when this came in front of the commission, was related to the access. You know, we have, for fire, emergency response purposes, we've required a second access to the property. So we have the one kind of primary access off Happy Joe Drive, and then we have also a second access through the Northwest Bank Tower out onto Middle Road. Council had some concerns, residents had some concerns, the neighbors did. So we, which we have done in the past, we commissioned an independent third-party traffic study. Chive Hattery here locally did the study for us. They did one for the Quick Star at Devil's Glen in Belmont was the last time, similar situation. That way that's a fully independent study. They analyzed both of the driveways. They analyzed the intersection at Middle Road and Happy Joe as well. There's a previous traffic study that dates back, I think, almost 20 years at this point. When that, what is now vacant still, the corner, be the northwest corner at that intersection, there was a proposed development at that time, and even at that point, with some assumed build out here, a traffic signal was still not warranted there. They reviewed the number of accidents there. There is a small history of rear end crashes there, mostly related to speeding, unfortunately. So the only suggestion that has been made in the future is to consider potentially a left turn lane to be constructed there.
When you say accidents as a result of speeding, is it for both directions or at the intersection where the bank entrances, or where were the accidents?
So that was at Happy Joe and Middle
Happy
Road.
Happy Joe and Middle.
Yep, so
okay.
Eastbound traffic.
Okay.
Mostly over acceleration coming down that hill, quite frankly, and people not paying enough attention to left turners there. So the current configuration with those two access points, and we We reviewed it with the first phase of the project, so just the one building that's actually being proposed right now, and then we also did a full build out with the second building and also assumed a full commercial use for that lot out front when anticipating some traffic generation out of there. Basically, the study said that all three, so the two driveways and Happy Joe in the middle, would all operate at an acceptable level of service. Generally considered, that's considered level D for city intersections, level F for driveways. All that really relates to is generally what your delay is going to be there. It did suggest that after the initial build out, again, we're using estimated traffic generations here, that when the second phase comes back around to reevaluate at least the intersection of Middle and Happy Joe to make sure that a traffic signal is still not warranted. But at this point, they don't anticipate it. We didn't anticipate it at the staff level. Obviously, we have a very large site here, but these sites are not heavy traffic generators, and ultimately, that's what it's coming down to. I think the trips per day were well under 1,000 trips. You know, they might have been in the 100 to 200 for the first phase, and you know, maybe double that at the full build out.
Okay, great, thanks.
Only other thing, the reason for the change and the placement of the flag light lots is twofold. Number one, for addressing, the property is currently addressed 2528 Middle Road. That made this piece of property very attractive for the developer to want to put the retirement facility on this large piece of ground. And it gives them the ability to keep addressing for both buildings, phase one and phase two, off of Middle Road. And number two, it allows the placement of their sign to be down on Middle Road as well. They didn't feel a sign at the entrance at Happy Joe's Drive would really serve any purpose.
Okay, thanks, Jen. Questions from the commission on this matter or comments?
I have a question. Well, we're talking about the plat right now, and it's really not a plat-related question, but John, you mentioned the signage.
Mm-hmm.
So my understanding of the chain of events here is that nothing's happening on lot three right now.
Correct.
There's a home there. But if they're planning to have signage on Middle Road, where will that signage go?
I'm 95% sure it is going to go on the flag lot closest to the Northwest Bank building.
Okay. On the easement.
And it would make a lot of sense to them because that's where traffic would enter
uh-huh.
in.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And without the flag lots, John, the address would be Happy Joe Drive.
Yes, because they do not touch. Without the flag lots, you might recall the north end of lot number three went from the east to west property lines. So now lot number two and one had no street frontage on Middle Road. So they could not have a Middle Road address.
So even though they're arguably their primary access is going to be off Middle Road, notwithstanding the flag lot, through the easement agreement with the bank, because there was no technical frontage for lots one or two, there could not be a Middle Road address.
Correct.
And it's a little chicken and egg with the site plan versus the mm-hmm. plat. I almost feel like we have to talk to about them at the same time just because the overlap. I don't have any conceptual problem with replatting it, but I want to make sure I understand the effect of it when we talk about the site plan.
Sure, Greg, why don't you go ahead and do your presentation then?
Let's do that, and then maybe we can approve them. That would be great.
This is the Vintage Cooperative, and essentially it's going to be done in two stages. This building right here is the first stage, essentially. And then we have one here that's up on the higher ground that will come in later, and they're both intended as retirement community, but for people who are not needing any type of assistance. This is Middle Road over here. Your means of access through the bank parking lot, and again, the circulation pattern back out here to Happy Joe Drive. You've got a detention basin here with water quality features that are intended, and then the water, stormwater is released down into this ravine. They met all of the requirements for landscaping in the interior. This will give you an idea of what the structures will look like. We've already seen these prior when they did the rezoning. They gave us an indication of the height of the structures and that nature. Staff in reviewing the site plan would recommend approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask you if there are any questions.
Okay, thanks, Greg. Can you go back to the site plan? There you go. So is there any kind of directional restriction on, because you talked about traffic flow or rotation, it would come in and then go out on Happy Drive, come in on Middle Road by the bank, but that's a full two-way, right? It's not going to be restricted to a one-way.
There is not any entry like this and then circling around and then having to leave at that point. We have not seen anything proposed in that way.
They could just as well come in, come back out, and back out to Middle Road the way they came in. But so, and what part, just so I'm clear, what part, if any, does the proposed flag lot play relative to current or future access to either lot 3 or 1 or 2? Because I, in the notes, where I was tripping a little bit on the site plan notes, it makes reference, let me get it up. Hang on.
Mr. Chairman, from a staff standpoint, Lot 3 is not going to have direct access to Middle Road.
Right.
Lot 3 will have to have access going to the west to make connection with the access easement through Northwest Bank Building.
Yeah, so they ran the access easement the length of that property because there is no design on that property now, so we didn't want to restrict it to
say a 40-foot
section right in the center in case their driveway doesn't end up fitting that configuration.
So they may utilize a small portion. I'm looking for the note.
Yeah, at some point
it would be on
that.
Here, it's lot 4 on the final plat. It says, I just want to make sure I'm understanding it. Lot 1 and lot 3 access shall only be through the driveway on lot 2 or the northwest bank site. Lot 1, Cumberland and Commercial, first edition. No access to Middle Road. So on one hand it's saying, if I'm reading it, lot 1 and 3, that's the front lot and the first phase, right?
Correct.
Access shall only be through the driveway on lot 2.
Yeah, so Greg, can you go back to the site plan? So, right, they're going to be putting in that entire, starting right where Greg's at right there, they're going to be putting in that entire driveway through the property as part of the first phase.
In addition to the existing drive that's with the bank?
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
So when we say access from lot 1, it's from the first phase building. Technically, to get off their property and get onto the Northwest Bank, they have to go through lot 2.
Okay. So they loop around and come back in.
Yep.
They won't come in through that. They can't come in and then they'll be, get my bearing there, to the east. There'll be a cut right into the east there somewhere.
Yes, for lot 3. Yep. So we stopped both of the access easements, or the access easement on the west side, short of the right-of-way, so that way we ensure that there is no way to get direct access onto Middle Road.
Okay.
So when you said they're building a new drive, Brett, is it the same footprint as the existing drive, or is it new footprint?
Just the driveway from where Northwest Bank stops
to the
north. So the driveway through essentially the site, if we'll call it that.
All right.
You know, they'll put that whole driveway in the first phase, and that driveway meanders between lots 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. So that's why technically to get from the building, you have to cross back over, and it's just kind of a a bit of legalese in there, but there will be no, ultimately, no new curb cuts, no access on the middle, everything's through the Northwest Bank.
And really no new pavement being put on the flag lot that's on lot three. Okay, that's...
And ultimately, when they develop lot three, it's coming before you in a site development plan, and they're going to have to show how they're going to access.
And the construction access, will that all come from Happy Joe Drive?
I would imagine, yes. I can't imagine Northwest Bank's going to want construction traffic in and out of there.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for the clarification.
Sure.
Others on the commission with questions or comments in this matter?
Brent, when they did the traffic study, do you happen to know how many residents they're expecting to house in this portion?
If I remember correctly, there was a, I want to say 110, 120 units total.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
So it's really low traffic generating. I think we use an average for senior living of like 3 to 5 trips a day. So that's where you're in that, you know, well less than 1,000 trips. You know, and Middle Road's got 18, 19,000 on it across there.
Okay, thanks.
So less than a 5% impact.
Yeah, I think
okay.
So
potential increase. And then that's assuming that all that traffic would exit on the middle.
Right.
You know, I think a fair amount of the traffic, if they're accessing it from the north, is going to do it via Tech and Happy Joe and try
that's
to avoid those
do.
Intersections.
I would.
Yeah, if I lived there and I was heading the other, I'll say,
take 18th,
away,
yep.
I'd go back through the neighborhood. Yeah. Yeah, avoid that whole intersection and mm-hmm. double. Yeah. Okay. Other questions or comments?
Just out of curiosity, when we're looking at traffic patterns, because this is a retirement facility, do we look at access for emergency vehicles?
Yep, absolutely, and that's actually why the second access was put in there.
That's for the requirement for two accesses.
Okay.
Now, it's not just for senior living, but obviously a facility like this will give a little, probably, without speaking for Troy, but give it a little more higher priority, you know, making sure that those access points are there. Generally speaking, any large development like this residential, we try to accommodate two of them.
And the fire department does do an analysis of the site development plan to make sure that there's enough room for their apparatus to get around it and for loading and unloading of emergency vehicles. So that has gone through fire department review.
Thank you.
And just to clarify, my understanding on this one is it's a co-op and the clientele will generally be on the elderly side of the spectrum, but it's not a assisted living or anything like that. It's you could be 30 and live there.
I think it is a 55 and older.
Is it? Okay, 55 and older.
I think it's almost the
I'm identical. Saying you want to be 30 and want to live there, but that's different, but okay.
Watch
but
where
it's
you're
not
going
like
there,
an assisted. I'm not heading there.
We're in, Roy.
We're in, all right. Oh, good.
I don't like the direction this is taking.
I know. Neither do I, but I can't change it. Yeah. Okay, so anyone in the audience with regard to this matter? No, you all like this. Okay, come back to the commission.
They've got one.
There's oh,
one
sorry, back. I didn't see you back there. Yep.
Hi, my name is Sue Johnson, and I live at 2360 Renwood Court, which is just around the corner from the Northwest Bank building. Off of 23rd Street, so I'm kind of interested in the whole traffic situation that's going to come out of this proposed building. I was interested in the traffic study, and I wondered when that was done. Was that done on current traffic on Middle Road, or was that only done respecting potential traffic when this build-out is done? Is there?
So they do both. We did set up and do a 24-hour count at those locations. But then we also have to project using standardized traffic generation patterns for the new development.
Okay. Can you tell me when the traffic study was conducted then?
Oh, I think we did it in November, I believe, of 2019.
Oh.
Just got completed.
Yeah.
Okay. In looking through the notes that were for this meeting and in listening, it sounds like when this is completely built out, it will be revisited as to whether a traffic light is needed at Happy Joe Drive and Middle Road. And because I use that road multiple times a day, I wanted to just express an opinion that would be a terrible idea to have a traffic light right there. And I would like to encourage the commission to consider a turn lane instead, perhaps a center turn lane that will give people an option and a way to get in and out of those areas without having people coming down that hill where there's a limited line of sight and all of a sudden coming upon a red light. I think that would be a situation that would encourage a lot of accidents. You know, there are some now. I think there could potentially be a lot later. And also, with this being a senior community, I know you consider, I think, 3 to 5 trips for residents. I guess I would like to know if you considered also with an elderly community whether there will be delivery vehicles, groceries, cleaning people, that kind of thing, if you considered those trips into the traffic count as well. And that's all. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Sue. Did from a follow-up?
Yes, generally that traffic generation includes, you know, if it was single family, it's generally just trips in and out of your house. But facilities like this, multifamily, multi-res, absolutely include a service component as part of that traffic generation.
So a staff calculation, for example, if there were 8 staff, you'd have built that into the model.
Yeah, and I believe it's very little, if any, staff here.
There's no cafeteria or anything in this. They're all self-contained in the units. But, yeah, good
yes.
question and
yep.
good thought on the turn lane, too, as an alternative if there's enough right-of-way to put one in there. Yeah.
Yep, and that would go back to the initial discussion we had, ma'am. I don't know if you maybe came in a little late, that the left turns are the concern. That's the one point we've seen there with traffic accidents are the rear-end left turn. And we did mention a potential left turn lane at some point as well.
Great, thanks. Okay, anyone else in the audience? With regard to this matter? No? Okay, now we'll come back to the commission. We've got two before us. We've got the final plat and then the site development plan.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of case 19091, the amended final plat, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve case 19-091, Ewing Bettendorf First Edition amended final plat. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Case 19091 is recommended for approval.
And subsequently, I will move for approval of case 19092, the site development plan, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, we're on a roll. Thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve case 19092, Middle Road Site Development Plan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, case 19-092 is recommended for approval. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, our next case involves a replatting of what was at one time the lots 7 through 12 and block 4 of the Bettendorf Improvement Company First Edition. Here is Grant Street right here. We have 18th and 17th Street, and then we have the alley that runs behind here, what was the old Accenture Credit Union site, and then some businesses on the corner as well. This is essentially the way these lots were broken down in the original platting, which occurred probably about in the 1930s, and you can see the utilities as they've been laid out, at least the sanitary and storm sewer throughout that area. Brickstone addition is being platted to accommodate what would be a new business in the area, and there have been right-of-way acquisitions by the city as a part of this plat. You've got two lots that are essentially being platted here, and the way it's laid out, we wanted to make sure that there was sufficient room for utilities and the alleyway and the like. The concept essentially, as many people are probably already aware, we're looking at two different, or I should say one building, but from two different views. This one looking from the west, and this is the front looking from the south. So essentially, we're looking to accommodate a commercial business within that locale. Staff in reviewing the plat would recommend approval. with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Okay, thanks, Greg. John, any updates from staff since publication?
As you're looking at the plat, lot number one will be the commercial development, and lot number two is going to have actually a public function on that. And if you wouldn't mind.
As part of the the downtown initiative, we're looking to add public parking downtown. So this will be one of two public parking lots that we're going to build this year. So we're going to demo, since the city owns both of these lots, we're going to demo the two east buildings here. I think we're going to get about 35 parking spaces, somewhere in that range. Going to add some additional green space, some new lighting down there. And then we are also building one just west of the 15th Street, so the new Kellner development and the bridges there, basically south of the CenturyLink building there, basically sandwiched between there. We've got another 75, 80 stalls that will be going in there this year as well.
Brilliant. I've got goosebumps. I think this is the classic build it and they will come. When people don't go downtown, a lot of times, even this change with the restaurant proposed, you go over there sometimes, you can't get a parking place and you have to go somewhere else. So I think this is a great idea.
Yeah,
so
there was, we definitely had a concern knowing that some of the adjacent businesses utilize the Accenture parking lot after hours. That was always an agreement between them. Jeff Ryder was able to, our economic development director, was able to craft the deal here to where we could retain ownership of those two lots, and that's the plan.
Great.
I noticed on my way down here tonight, the lot, the old Accenture lot, was half full at quarter after five.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, great idea.
And the council's point of view is just the same as yours. They're very much positive about this.
Yeah, build more of it, yep. Any other questions, editorials, or comments from the commission? Nope. Anyone in the audience with regard to this matter? Lean over. Nope. Okay, back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 20-002, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, great. Thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve case 20-002, Brickstone Edition replat. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay. Case 20-002 is recommended for approval. Okay, Greg?
Mr. Chairman, this is a replat essentially of some lots within the Glenbrook Ridge second edition. The area outlined in brown shows the area that is under consideration as a part of the replatting here. What we're looking at is Glenbrook Ridge second edition, and there were some areas that needed to sort of correspond to what was intended for the site. And what this does essentially is it cleans up some of the area that was needing to be addressed. The private drive is in here is excluded. But essentially, you have lots 2, 3, 6, 7, 13, 16, and 17, and then out lots E, 3, 4, and 5. They're all incorporated here, and essentially, that outline matches what we have right here. And what we're seeing is that the site plan has already incorporated that design. What we're trying to do is make certain that there is comparable to what the plat, what we want this to propose, and essentially what we're seeing is that the stormwater detention will go on this lot, the main body of the structure will go on lot one, and that the rest of these will be then divvied up with the necessary easements within each of them, and that arrangement that we see on the site plan is now going to be reflected on this plat. Staff, in reviewing the proposal, would ask, are there any questions, and staff would recommend support of this proposal.
Okay, thanks, Greg. John, anything since publication?
Just as Greg said, it's cleaning up the plat to fit the approved site plan that at least was approved at year level. Also did a little house cleaning on lots number 5 and 4, if you could point those out, Greg. Those are directly to the east of the Magellan pipeline easement. And when the sewer was placed in, it had to be put pushed away from that Magellan pipeline, and for very good reason. So we're just trying to clean that up to get the easement that we needed to actually reflect where the sewer was put in.
They've got some houses under construction there now, right?
Correct. Yes.
Three or four,
yeah,
maybe?
Lot number five is under construction.
Yeah.
Across the street will be under construction soon, if it isn't already. And I believe the commercial building at the main entrance is starting as well.
Yep. Oh. Okay. Questions or comments from the commission on this matter? Okay. Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Nope. Okay. We'll come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval. Case 20-005. The replat, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve case 20-005, Glenbrook Ridge, third edition replat. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Case 20-005 is recommended for approval. Okay, Greg?
Mr. Chairman, this site development plan that was submitted to us has been in the works for a bit. The county has been looking for a new site for radio transmission for emergency response, and they've selected a site behind the school, the elementary school that's going in, and this is a flatter, higher point where they can service the calls that go out, especially along the interstate. And this gives you a little bit better close-up of how things are laying out and how the ground breaks away here and here, and that this is a flatter, higher area located for the particular facility. This will give you an idea of how it would lay out with the equipment, and then the tower is here and the equipment based in this location. This will give you a cross-section of the aerial view elevation of how that tower would look, and then there will be a fence that will be enclosing this area as well. For security reasons, there's a road coming out of the school area which will allow access for service vehicles coming to the location. Staff, in looking at this proposal, would recommend approval. I would ask, are there any questions?
John, any updates from staff since publication?
Greg said this has been in the works for a very long time. This is a cooperative effort between Scott County, the City of Bettendorf, the Parks Board, and Pleasant Valley Community School District. I notice the superintendent is here as well. All of them working together to make this work. This new emergency response radio system has been under some excessive detailed studies for the needed location for these sites. All of the sites have been secured and worked out in a way that they now can finally proceed forward with this new system. And it was just neat to see all the different entities work together on this and come up with a place for this tower that works in with our plans, our overall plans for the development of the park, as well as the school's plan.
And I noted in the paperwork, John, that it said it's leased. So is the city leasing it to the county then?
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Hope they gave you a good deal. Thanks. Questions or comments from the commission? I see some folks from the county and the school. Anyone in the audience want to add to what's been said? Yes, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, and all of the commission members. Thank you. My name is Tony Kenobi. I'm the chair of the Scott County Board of Supervisors, which also makes me chair of the Scott Emergency Communications Center. I'm just here to thank you for your consideration. This is one of seven towers, the majority of which are in virtually identical arrangements, where we're working with other municipalities to find sites that that will save the taxpayers a lot of money. Everyone benefits. It's a great project. It's a badly needed project that will bring all of our first responders up to modern technology and increase our coverage, better our coverage, and allow our citizens to be safer. So once again, I've got a great team that work for me and make me look smart, so thank you for your consideration. And thank you for your work. I've served on the county's Planning and Zoning Commission for a lot of years, and Joe and Ann, I know you probably know this, but you're not in it to be in a popularity contest, so I appreciate your work.
It's their good looks. Yeah. No, thank you. Appreciate that, Tony. And I heard efficiency, I heard better coverage, and I heard savings for the taxpayer, so three great reasons to do it. So when everybody can win, that's a great thing, so appreciate that. Anyone else with regard to this matter from the audience? Okay, back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we approve case number 20-003, subject to any staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve case 20-003, Forest Grove Drive Communications Center. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Case 20-003 is recommended for approval. Mm-hmm. Okay, Greg.
Mr. Chairman, this is a final PUD plan that we have looked at various stages from the rezoning from R2 to PUD and then through the process of a preliminary PUD, and now tonight we are looking at the final PUD. The site is approached by homes, and then we have an alley that intervenes and then a means of entry here into an alley, and then of course there will be a proposed connection with this alley that will go right through, and then the Jones connection with the cul-de-sac being a part of the development. This is the preliminary PUD, as you can see the outline of each structure here and what is proposed for the site and the water quality element here. There have been some changes. The easement area here has changed, and we'll show that where that has gone on the final plan. Essentially now those easements have been split up between sanitary and storm sewer, and there's also been an easement added here to connect to the sanitary. What we're looking at are the proposed structures that are within there have potential to be built on site, and we've seen these before, what the developer wanted to undertake. This is a somewhat of a reuse of the property, and it's something that we would want to facilitate with more affordable, higher density housing, especially something that replicates to some extent the same lot sizes. One must remember that at one time we were looking at more lots. Now we've reduced them to 20. We've taken the access of each of these units and we've drawn them back here into the alleyway, and we also are looking at replacement of some of the sewer in this area that is almost a century old. We look at the water quality element that's been brought in as well, and we see these as part of the trade-off, if you will, for the higher density that we've seen the improvements in utility and access to the site. We don't want to have individual points of entry onto this street when we can properly utilize another means of access and then have this connectivity too to create circulation within the development. And we also maintain that, and then there's also a larger area vis-a-vis having this alleyway up here too to separate this area from any of the other areas, as well as somewhat required in the ordinance. We also have a restriction that has been placed on here that will not permit any variance request from being essentially granted within the development, because being a PUD, it already sort of has downsized to some extent the design, and it's the understanding of people entering into this area that this is a different kind of development than what we would normally have. We've done the same thing with Maple Crest Addition to some extent when we redid that PUD in 2005. Staff in reviewing this particular proposal would recommend approval. I would ask, are there any questions?
Okay, thanks, Greg. John, anything since publication?
I don't believe anything from us.
Okay. Questions or comments from the commission? I've got one, Greg. Can you identify on here which ones, it might be a smaller number, don't have alley garages?
These are custom builds. So you've been shown a design standard. What we are going to require in what the developer has told us they will do is that lots 14 through 20 that are adjacent to Home Street will be rear loads, and they will not have access to Home Street. We anticipate several others will be designed that way, but they are individual builds. They're not cookie cutters necessarily, so there could be some variation from lot to lot.
Okay, that helps some. Where my head's going is, how are they going to coexist if they're both alley load to the north of what you just drew? So let's say I'm just envisioning a scenario. I'm trying to understand how it will work, kind of like a street, but I know the alley's somewhat narrower, and you got people backing out in a narrow spot. At the same time, if the people on the cul-de-sac just north of your pink line, Greg, are also rear load garages, is there adequate space for everybody to live together with
that's
opposing
the
garage doors?
Most of this original area of town, that exact scenario exists in most of these neighborhoods.
Well, and that's part of when I drove over there and looked at it. It's like you got garbage cans out into the alleyway, and you've got sometimes people try and park back there for a while, and it looks from a practical standpoint a challenge, and then you throw cars off. So if there are a way to kind of alternate or whatever else to make it more user friendly, that's just where I'm going. I'm just trying to get a feel for how's it going to work on the ground, knowing how some of the challenges it's been from the old days, I'll call it. So
yeah, they're somewhat staggered as I'm seeing them on the
I'm seeing that too. That helps a little bit.
And I think, Roy, the benefit hopefully of having a single builder out here.
Yeah.
I've noticed
he's
that
watching
in
that.
Several neighborhoods, if you have both, you know, a developer builder, you tend to get a little more continuity between items like this, such as making sure garages, maybe not in this exact case, but let's say if they're side load garages, if it's a single builder, a lot of times you'll see them, they're all on the same side of the house going down the street.
Yeah, no, I'm in a relatively new deal, and the developer did that too. Just want to make sure we didn't have driveways, yep, button driveways, and yeah, that's just well thought out. So,
and Applestone will serve as the design standard HOA for this entire development.
Okay,
so they will control the design.
Good.
Of these.
Good. Yeah, they're pretty.
He might allow a builder to come in as long as he has final say on the design standard.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Other questions or comments from the commission? Nope. Anyone in the audience with regard to this matter? I see a couple of the neighbors. Yep. Norm?
Jerry,
sorry.
Good evening. I'm Jerry Sexer, 1304 Broadlawn Avenue. And my comment on this is I would like a comment either in the meeting or on drawing. Develop or maintain a sidewalk along Holmes Avenue, Home Street during construction. You know, the sidewalk currently exists. This is an established neighborhood. That sidewalk's used all the time. And there should be no reason he can't maintain a sidewalk during construction. There are no curb cuts there for driveways since they're all alley load. And that would be my recommendation. My second recommendation is that the bus lane also remain during construction. Remember that we just got a flood forecast for 95% major flooding again. And when we have major flooding, 6th Street, which is on the left side, gets closed into River Drive. Home Street then ends up being used as the detour route from 6th Street to 8th Street. And with maintaining that bus lane, Applestone will have a place to park their trucks without narrowing that street down to an unsafe width of the street. Thank you.
Yep. No, good comments. Ability to work with the developer in that category?
Sure. Yeah, I have no issue
all
with that.
That makes
if
sense.
You want to
yeah.
make the recommendation.
Yep. Appreciate the comments. Thank you. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this matter?
Thank you. I'm Scott Tunnicliffe. I live at 718 Holmes Street, which is a couple lots down on the east side along Holmes. I just wanted to thank the developer for acceding to having the alley run through. As one of the houses that occasionally has garbage and waste units out there, it's sometimes a function of the city, but we do well out there. The challenge has been that the heaviest traffic that's been in the alley to the east has been from the city trucks coming in to pick up the trash and the recycling, and so that's had a deleterious effect on the condition of the alley. We expect that with this alley, they'll be able to go through rather than going down, turning around, backing out, and going in. So we anticipate that the quality of the alley and the as well as the traffic will be less onerous than it's been. Just wanted to thank the folks for doing that with the alley, because it's a little bit out of the ordinary in these days, but then it's an older kind of creative infill, and so we're really pleased that the city's able to accede to that request.
No, thank you, and I think it's good. Anytime we can try and improve the efficiency out there, we're better off. So that's kind of where I was going with the questioning. The reality is people have garbage. They need a place to put it. The truck's got to pick it up, and if we can do something to help it all work better for everybody while we're planning it, we're better off.
And now yep. It's a two-way street.
Right.
Instead of a one-way.
So yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mike Richmond with Townsend Engineering. I would like some clarification on the sidewalk and the bus lane, because it is the developer's desire to eliminate the bus lane to move the sidewalk to the south so it continues on with its alignment to the east. So at some point that will be removed.
Yeah, Mike, he was just asking temporarily while you start construction if you could leave that in and do that towards the end.
Sure, yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, great, okay.
Mr. Chair, if I could also add for Mr. Tunnicliffe, we are reconstructing the alley to the east as part of our alley rehab program this year as well. And Greg had mentioned the sewers being replaced through there as well. Turns out that to serve this new addition, we actually cannot make a sewer connection to the east there. There's a large 48-inch pipe that's in conflict with the bottom of that sewer. The school, not having, I assume it didn't have a basement, was obviously being served at a little higher elevation without having a basement. And when Townsend was trying to get the sewer connection, could not make the elevations work. We're still going to replace that sewer main. It's circa 1909, I believe.
It's probably
they're going to take their sewer over to 6th Street and tie into the sewer interceptor. So we'll be a lot of work will be going on in this neighborhood in conjunction with this project as well. Mm-hmm. And I would anticipate, as we've been looking at it, once construction is done of the cul-de-sac and Jones, that'll probably be on our street resurfacing program in the next year or two as well. We don't want to do it now with construction traffic going to be on it, but it's pretty beat up and we need to get down there.
Good, good. Did you catch the little golf clap from Scott about that alley I saw?
Yeah, this is perfect timing for us because I-74 to the east will be completed and then we'll be able to have construction over here.
It's always construction season. All right, yes, ma'am, you had comments for us?
Yes, my name's Amy McClure-Swearingen. I live at 16 Riverview Park Drive. I'm part of one of many that have kind of organized a neighborhood group. You may not be the proper people to ask, but since Jerry is our alderman, he's sitting here, and maybe you could forward on to J.J. Condon as well. Some of the questions that I get back, we have a Facebook page. We try to get the information out. There's still concerns with this being the PUD. Part of this, he was supposed to do something to enhance the neighborhood, and I think when he came up and we asked him about it before, he kind of briefly said something about butterfly gardens, but never really elaborated on that, which we do have that in Meyer Park. So I don't, you know, part of getting the PUD, he's supposed to do, I think, something to attract or be.
And I remember something about refurbishing of a playground equipment or something. I don't remember what the conclusion was.
That would be one of the questions that like two or three people have emailed me about, and then the The other big concern, especially with the people that live around that area, we know that they're going to demolish the school, but if they would probably, Applestone was not really good about communicating before, and we want to make sure that they're communicating with the people, especially directly by the school when they tear it down, that they have ample notice. That area is used a lot by children, the playground equipment currently. I still see people over there, even though he's taken over ownership, but I would just hope that that communication with the neighborhood is very clear of when it's going to happen, and just for safety reasons and concerns with people parking on the sides of the street, walking heavily traffic. So those are the two concerns coming from the neighborhood at this point.
And Mike here can also carry a message back, right, as far as communication before you put the dynamite to the building kind of thing. So yeah.
It'd be nice if they would do something directly to the neighbors. Last time when we had the community meetings, it was kind of nothing was done. It was kind of put on us, and we do put things out on Facebook, and I have email, but I can't reach everyone. So it'd be nice if they could directly contact those people by that area.
They have to pull a permit for the demo too, right? So the city will be on notice as they get communicated anything back to them.
And typically the equipment gets staged on site considerably before. They can't start demolition until they have the utilities disconnected, and you'll see equipment show up on site to disconnect the gas, disconnect the water, things like that. That it becomes very obvious at that point, and usually at that time they stage the actual demolition equipment too.
See, if a site this large, I can't imagine that they won't safety fence off the entire property.
Right. They most certainly will.
Aside from wherever they're going to bring their exes.
Communication.
Sure.
Giving heads up so
you
are aware that
you'll see the equipment showing up.
In what way would you request communication? I mean, do you want them to send a mailer out to everybody in a 5-mile radius, or?
I think he could, write up a letter and say, "This is kind of our timeline. This is what's going to happen." He could actually reach out to someone with the Riverview neighbors, like myself. We can share that. Then also go around to the houses that are directly affected on the alley where Scott lives and all around that area. Those I don't think that would take very long for someone as young and spry as Mr. Condon and his associates to go and just put flyers on the doors. I think that would be a very easy task to do. Much like I think they did that when a couple weeks ago, the SWAT team was using the building and they notified the neighbors. They went around and they gave flyers. So I don't think that's a difficult task at all.
So message heard. I think it's a good idea. Your original comment, we're not the people to fix that or make it happen, but it's at least a venue to express that interest. We've got, Mike's going to give us a little update on that. He's got communication, and then to the extent we see the equipment in that. Yeah. But
We'll pull the permit. It'll be fenced off, and we'll be happy to communicate with the neighbors, but is that something the city would like us to go through the city, or should we do that independently?
Just independently.
Okay.
Yeah, great. Okay. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this matter?
I guess just as a follow-up to her concern about the playground equipment, is that going to be moved off-site, do you know, and what they're doing with it?
It is not going to be.
Yeah, it will not be reused.
We looked at it for our park system. And
yeah, I think they just had concerns about the age of it.
Yeah.
It should not be reused.
With it.
Yeah.
Now we
so
have
that'll be part of the demolition process of the building and the equipment?
I would assume so, yeah.
Okay.
Clearing of the whole site.
So we didn't really hear anything about enhancements. Do we know anything about enhancements?
We did talk about that during the preliminary, but Chris, should I tee it off?
There's no, the ordinance does not require an amenity. It's a may,
okay.
May language. And I mean, I don't know the discussions that might have happened with the developer. I know that there was discussions here. I think at the end of the day, these PUDs are all unique, and this is what they call contract zoning, and they try to make this plot of land work for the neighborhood. And there's been a lot of back and forth. I think at the end of the day, this was a plan that worked for the developer, for the neighborhood, and for us. And so there is no amenity in the PUD, but again, from a requirement standpoint, it's not there.
Okay.
And during that whole time, if you'll recall, the original plan for all of these lots adjacent to Home Street were for front-load garages coming off of Home Street. And that, for many of the neighbors, was a very big issue.
Mm-hmm.
So the trade-off, and he did not have the alley behind there. He didn't want the alley. So the trade-off was to put the alley through so he could accommodate the rear loads, especially off of Home Street. And we got that amenity given to the city that was not shown on the initial submitted plan.
Yeah, so we consider that the amenity, one, the cost, two, he's dedicating that as right-of-way that's coming to the city. You know,
and he decreased by one lot.
Yes.
Yeah, and honestly, we looked at having one lot as an open space when you got an entire park across the street, and we just, the amenity of getting that alley through there for the safety of city vehicles, emergency response vehicles, and getting rid of the front load garages. We felt it was a good trade-off.
Makes a lot of sense.
So it doesn't sound like the butterflies are coming.
No, but it's not. Do you see where it's coming from? People that are reading that, but that's not articulated very well to the community, because when they're reading it, they see that the amenities could be part of it. The alleys are wonderful, don't get me wrong, but that was really a separate thing that was part of the thing of those discussions, and so nothing really came of that. So you now basically solve that problem, saying that basically we traded, or what, I'm not sure what the verbiage you used, but basically we got alleys instead of an amenity, something that's
the caterpillar
trade-off,
metamorphosed into an alley in this case, which I think actually in the whole dynamic here, it really ended up pretty good for everybody. If the original amenity had been the redoing of the playground equipment, I think the restructuring with the alley and the whole matching of the demeanor of the neighborhood and everything is a bigger win from an amenity resolution than...
It just was not the problem is it wasn't articulated that way. Now,
yeah.
This evening, and I will
understood.
Follow up with those that have those questions.
Nope, it's good. Closure. Okay. Anyone else in the commission or in the audience with regard to this matter?
I think this has been a great project. From the staff level, has done a really great job making this come together, and the developer has made a lot of accommodations, and I think that even you neighbors have been excellent, you know, hearing out what we wanted, what you wanted, sharing, working together, getting the information out. So good job to all involved.
Yeah. Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to Mr. Chairman to approve case number 20-007, subject to any staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, great. Thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve case 20-007, Thomas Jefferson Edition final PUD plan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 20-007 is recommended for approval. Okay, Greg?
Mr. Chairman, our next case involves establishing what was the intent of staff regarding an ordinance that was originally in place in all of the residentially zoned areas, and it regarded the lot or the width of a structure. And in this instance, there is a minimum width of 22 feet for at least 75% of the length of the structure. That was under the old code. Under the new code, unfortunately, it only referred to that as for single-family units. We were approached by a developer who wanted to provide 12-foot-wide units in the city.
That's
and we had no way of essentially saying that couldn't happen. It was an error that occurred during the transcribing of the ordinance from the original to what we received. So we're cleaning this up now. And essentially, as you see in the red, those are the things that we've modified to make it more clear to the ordinance as it had been given to us by the consultant in 2017. So we're modifying it. We're bringing it back to the standard as it was for all types of housing. And that way, We have the reestablishment of the clause as it was intended. Nobody on staff nor from the City Council or this body had instructed us to change this provision. That's why we want to make it as the intent was originally in the older ordinance. So what we're doing is essentially saying for all single-family residential, duplex residential, townhouse, multifamily, that all of these will have to, the structure itself, the exterior, will have to be a minimum of 22 feet in width for at least 75% of the structure. And staff would recommend approval of, reestablishing this standard.
Clarifying, yeah. And just so I'm clear, too, then, so the width requirement, as it currently exists, only applies to the first, or at least 75% of the length of the building, then.
And that would
be in their
single
family. It
can narrow
in as it goes back or something like that, yeah. And that'll still be the case as well.
Yes, it will be for every type of housing.
Okay. Keeping that provision in, because many homes will put a sunroom on the back end, may not be 22 feet wide.
But a 15-foot addition on the
exactly.
back, right.
So we don't want to prohibit that.
Yeah,
right.
It makes sense. Okay. Pretty straightforward. Any questions? Or
it's only simple.
Have you got any comments? The one last guy in the audience on that one. No. Okay.
I won't speak at all tonight.
You just did. Gotcha. All right. I'll take a motion on this one.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 20-004.
I'll second. Oh, sorry.
Okay, thank you. Yep, we have a motion and a second to approve case 20-004, supplemental use regulations, residential uses. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, that is recommended for approval. And the last agenda item or case, Greg?
Mr. Chairman, we wanted to do some housekeeping, and I imagine as we do go through the ordinance that was given to us, we will continue to see what needs to be done. But one thing that we ran across, without getting too detailed, was there are some inconsistencies in what we found in the ordinances regarding kennels and veterinary services. And under kennels, there was a provision for ostrich raising facilities within commercial districts. Clearly not anything like a kennel or a boarding area or a pet motel or anything for like a dog training center, more along the way of ag. So we wanted to ferret that out, put it into ag where it belongs in animal production,
eggs or eggs.
And clean that up. And then at the same time, we want to make sure that pet cemeteries and crematoria are treated in the same way as that for human remains, and that is to make sure that the pet cemeteries or human cemeteries are kept in an A1 with special use permit, and that the crematoriums are in I2 or I3 as they are for human remains, and to treat everybody equally. So in that regard, we are making these changes to the zoning ordinance and kennels and veterinary services general, so that we can make sure that commercial districts do what they do best and other districts do what they do best.
This is making way too much sense. This
and
was probably instituted back in 1909 when that sewer main was put in, probably about the same time frame, right? Wow.
You know, if you look up the Iowa code, Chris, don't you get legislative history?
We do.
Well, I'd like to see the legislative history on this.
I will look into that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I'd make a motion
I'll
that he bring
I'll
that
vote
to
without
the next
it.
Yeah. No, it makes too much sense. So I would take a motion on that as well.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of case number 20-010, an ordinance change subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve case 20-010, ordinance update change for commercial uses. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Case 20-010 is recommended for approval, which then takes us to commission update.
Well, Mr. Chairman, since we did not have a Planning and Zoning Commission meeting last month. Of course, not many items did go to the City Council, so And all of that time, really the only thing related to our issues that went through City Council was the approval of Pleasant Valley Ready Mix site plan. As you saw it, there was an addition to the existing building and a new fly ash building that has been pared back, and it's now just the fly ash building, and the addition to the existing building is just shown as a potential future. It'll have to come back before staff and the fire department. And one thing you did not see when you got to review it, a fire hydrant will be brought onto site, so big improvement from what you even saw.
Okay, downgraded from intensity, essentially.
Correct.
Yeah, great.
If I could add to that, right, the fire hydrant, they did finally work out an agreement with Iowa American Water to bring the water on along State Street, which was the initial intent dating back 10 years. So that'll solve the private water. It'll eventually, they'll probably have to loop that to get the proper pressure that they need. But that also, if you remember, there was a adjacent property owner that had concerns, was hoping to eventually bring water to their site. That'll make that available
Great.
To them as well.
I guess the only other thing is, on your annual report, take a look at what's been going on with your site plans over the last 5 years. You've gone from 12 to 13 to 19 to 26
to 34. I did see
and
that.
And you could graph that as a steady commercial and industrial development graph that is increasing at a fairly nice rate, and we have not had that kind of even development here in town for years. So it's not all the TBK Center. Some things are changing.
I just did my own unofficial regression analysis of that with my pen, and there's the curve, and it's the classic hockey stick, which in a growth mode is a wonderful thing. So very good job. Yeah, I did notice when I looked over that, I thought, wow, it is continuing to increase substantially. Let's hope the interest rates stay low and people keep on developing and growing, because I think I've been here 22 years, and I've seen huge improvements in the area since then, and looking forward to more. So.
Yeah. Nothing further. We do want to welcome both of the new commissioners. Thank you so much for joining
us.
Thank you.
Yeah, and they don't all last this long or this short.
No.
So,
All summer much longer.
Yeah. So with that, we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.